very happy this morning to have with us Mr. and Mrs. Thornton, as it's been announced, from Angola. And also, I might say about Mrs. Thornton, she's really our girl, because the fact for Camp Lilolai, some of you will remember a few years back when she counseled, just a few, but she was back there counseling at Lilolai, and we're very happy to have her. She taught school for a while in Niagara Falls before she went out and was a mission field, and previous to that, she was with her parents also there in Japan. So she's been a girl that's been around, so we want to get to know Mrs. Thornton as well as Mr. Thornton. And I might say, too, as I was while the rest of you are taking your seat, one of the things that she's doing in her ministry is she's also doing some translation work, and maybe Charlie, you might even want to say something. I don't know what you have to say, but we're glad to have Mr. Thornton with us at this time. And
good morning. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you again at Blaisdell. Our brother said I had been here before, or we had been here before, and he has a good memory because it was in 1976 that we were here the last time. So that's a while back, but it's good to be with you again and to have the privilege of sharing with you. I was asked this morning to speak on the subject of authority. Our brother who has just spoken has given us an excellent introduction, and I'm glad to hear that the study is going on all month, because as I was looking into the subject of authority of the scriptures, I realized that there's just no way that you could cover a subject like this rightly in just one message. So I'm glad that it's going on and that we can look into this together. It's a very, very important subject today, because the scriptures are being attacked on every side, being attacked in different ways than they have been attacked over the years. We know that back in the Dark Ages and the emergence of the Reformation, many of our dear brethren and sisters were put to death because they translated the scriptures, because they possessed them, and the scriptures were burned. We've had that happen in Angola too, in 1960-1961, when the first uprising started in the north of Angola. Many of our Christians were taken and beaten and put to death, just systematically right down the line. Our elders, many of them shot and beaten to death, others thrown into prison, and their Bibles and hymn books and so on confiscated and burned. And that was under the Portuguese government. And now under the Marxist government, we've had the same thing happen in isolated areas, but it's happened. But the scriptures are being attacked nowadays in very subtle ways, and the authenticity of the scriptures is being questioned. As our brother has brought out, Satan hasn't changed his tactics. Right from the earliest days, he said, "Hath God said?" Did God really say that? But that isn't what he meant, and this is what he meant, and so on. And the scriptures are explained away. And so that's the more subtle approach to things today. Wasn't a very subtle approach in Jeremiah's day, was it, when Jeremiah brought this prophecy to the king, and the king looked at it, and then he cut it up into strips and threw it into fire. Jeremiah, faithful to his ministry to the Lord, wrote it all out again. And so we have it today. But doubts are being cast on the Word of God in so many areas. And we need to listen to the Word of God. That's probably where the breakdown is in our listening and in obedience to what we read and to what we hear. The prophet Isaiah started out his prophecy saying, listen, hear, O Israel. The Lord was trying to get through to them. The Lord was trying to get his message over to them. Listen. And then he said, because you won't listen, then the Lord won't listen to you. You'll call and he won't answer. So it's a very perilous position to be in, to shut our ears to the Word of God. How often our Lord Jesus used the expression, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's where our responsibility starts, with hearing the Word of God. Today, if you will hear his word, his voice, harden not your hearts. So responsibility begins when we hear the Word of God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, verse we all know very well, I'm sure, the Lord Jesus, speaking to the two on the way to Emmaus, said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So all of the scriptures were important in the life of our Lord Jesus, and he gives his own testimony to the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God is authoritative, and we need to subject ourselves to that Word. Who but God can speak with authority? You know, it's interesting that people will deny the Scriptures, the truth of Scripture. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said in his prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But people will try and set the authority of the Word of God aside. And but who but God can speak with authority? You know, to speak with authority, one has to be omniscient. And who but God is omniscient? Our brother was speaking of those who call themselves atheists. Doubtful whether there are any. They used to say during the last war, there are no atheists in foxholes. And when a man comes to his final days, if he has that opportunity, very often these greatest of atheists who deny the existence of God call upon him. But, you know, to say you're an atheist and there's no God, well, how do you know there's no God? Are you omniscient? You have to be omniscient to know there's no God. You have to know everything. And if you don't know everything, then you can't say there's no God. And it's the same with the authority of the Scriptures. To speak with absolute authority, one has to be omniscient and omnipresent, to know that there is no other authority anywhere that can stand up to this, and so on. And of course, that brings into light the omnipotence of God too, because when one speaks with authority, one has to have the power to back up that authority. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." And that's the authority of the Scriptures. John turned and saw the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and of hell." And keys speak of authority. I was driving with Dave yesterday, and I was amazed at the number of keys the man has. I have four of them here. That shows my authority in very much, but Dave must be a man in authority. I just hope he doesn't fall into a river sometime because he'd drown. But keys speak of authority. And the Lord Jesus said, "I have the keys of death and of hell." And so, truth and authority are inseparable in the Scriptures. The Bible speaks of authority, the authority of the Word of God in the family. And our brother brought this out in his message. So many areas of authority. And one of the big reasons that our world is in the mess it's in today is the lack of authority and the lack of bowing to authority. And the fact that so many who are supposed to be in authority are not exercising true authority. But in the Scriptures we have authority for the family, authority for our own society, the society in which we live, authority for youth, for children, for older people, for government, you name it. The Bible has the answers. And it's up to us to bow to those answers. Our brother spoke in his message of the studies you'd had on inspiration and on inerrancy and so on. And so if we have an inspired word from God, and if we have an inerrant word from God, what more authority do we need? And then the Lord, our brother mentioned how the Lord has said over and over again in the Scriptures, "The Lord has said, the Lord has said." The Apostle Paul said, "I received this from the Lord." And that gives authority to the Scriptures we read, what he has said. You can, if you want to make an investigation of any individual, why, you can go to the CIA or the FBI, or if you're in Canada, to the Mounties, and you can go to a man's employer or school teacher or neighbors, and you can gather a lot of information about a person. But the way to really find out what he has in his mind and what he's thinking, what kind of a person he is to spend time with him and talk and to know. And when he says things, you know, God knows all about us before we open our mouth, but it's when we open our mouth that we show what kind of people we are, and very often our ignorance. So God has spoken, thus says the Lord, and we need to believe that. Peter in his epistle said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. The Apostle Paul, as an apostle, had authority, the authority of the Lord upon him. And he said, "Do I come to you with a rod?" And then he said later on to the same church at Corinth, he said, "I write these things being absent, lest being present I should speak with sharpness." So the servant of the Lord has the authority of the Word of God to stand on. And the Lord Jesus said, "You will bind things on earth, and and things in heaven. And we have that authority as believers in the Lord Jesus. But the world needs final authority, and the final authority is the living Word of God. Unhappily, we listen to so many other voices. We listen to sociologists, and we listen to feminists, we listen to humanists, we listen to communists, we listen to lots of ists, and not saying that all of these things are bad by any means, but we need to be careful that what we hear and what we do with what we hear, that we back it up by what the Word of God says to us. Because the Word of God is the authority of the believer. And unhappily today, many things are being changed. Leaving behind the authority of the Scriptures and being changed because, well, that's the way things are going and that's what seems best to us to do and so on. And we can't do that. And if we do that, we're going to run into difficulty with the one who gave us this book, the authority, the Word of God, our Lord Himself. And so, we rest on what God has said. Our Lord Jesus did this. How often do we read of our Lord Jesus and He said, "It is written"? When He was tempted, He said, "It is written." When men objected to His miracles, He had the same reply, "It is written." When He was accused of blasphemy, He said, "It is written." When He was betrayed by Judas, He said, "It is written." When He arose from the dead, He said, "It is written." And over and over and over again, the Lord Jesus went back to the authority of the Scriptures. And when we as believers get away from the authority of the Scriptures, we have no ground whatsoever to stand on and no basis for our life, no foundation. The Word of God, the living Word of God, it's alive, it's powerful, and we need to constantly put our feet down firmly on what God has said. And not only acknowledging the authority of the Scriptures, I suppose most of us here this morning would say, "Oh yes, we acknowledge the authority of the Scripture," but the breakdown comes in obedience to the Word of God. We need to obey it. The Bible doesn't just tell us what to do, but the Bible leads us into that which is highest and noblest for us. We think of Abraham and his faithfulness to the Word of God. And he accepted the authority of the Word of God. And he's the only man in the Scriptures that was ever called the friend of God. Doesn't mean that he was the only one that could have been called the friend of God. Maybe there were others, but he was the only one that was called the friend of God. And I believe the reason for this was his obedience. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So Abraham was called the friend of God. God says, "Get up from amongst your people and go to a land that I will show you of." And he got up and he went, not knowing where. You say, "Look, go, Lord," but where? The Lord didn't tell him where. He just said, "Go." And he said, "I'm going to give you a son in your old age." But he didn't say how. "How, Lord?" Doesn't matter. The Lord said he was going to give him a son in his old age. And Abraham accepted that. I know there was a breakdown. They tried to help God out of the fix he got himself into and arranged for Ishmael. But this was the way this man responded. Then God said, now take your son, your only son, and offer him on a mountain that I will show you. But why, Lord? You know, why? He didn't. He just got up and he implicitly obeyed. And so here is a great father of the faith giving us an example of the authority of the scriptures, the authority of the Word of God in our lives. We disobey the scriptures to our own peril. Our brother read us some of the facts of Scripture, of the creation. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, knowing facts about the Scriptures don't necessarily change too much. It's when we bow to the authority of the Scriptures and accept them. The devil believes all those facts too. Probably Ahab did and Judas. But it didn't help them very much just to accept those facts. And no doubt there are millions of people in hell today who knew John 3:16. It's great to know John 3:16. Most of us could say it off by heart when we were children in Sunday school. Great. But it's not until we come to the place where we bow to the Word of God that it has meaning in our lives. And so there are probably millions in hell who know John 3:16 but didn't know the Savior. So it's important that we don't just gather facts of the Scripture, but that we bow ourselves to them. Remember Mary's word to those at the feast in Cana? Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Do it. And so we must bow to the Word of God and be obedient children. And again, let me emphasize the fact that this is where the breakdown comes. We know that in our world today, our world is in a mess. Everywhere. Everywhere. It isn't only North America that has all of the problems that we see in our homes and in individual lives. It's worldwide. The devil is working all over the place. And the big breakdown is that we don't bow to the Scriptures. We don't bow to the authority of the Word. It isn't that a lot of people don't know some of the things, but it's bowing to it. We had a case recently of a lovely little girl that we know who went ahead and married an unconverted man and is now suffering the results of it. She knew the Scriptures, but she didn't bow to it. It wasn't easy, and it never is easy. The Lord never did say it would be easy. He never said it would be easy. But perhaps the breakdown in our society today is because we haven't bowed to these things. You can talk about all the problems that are in individual lives, but at the basis of it all is a little three-word letter, sin. Sin. And we have set aside the authority of the Scriptures. We can't do it. We do it at our own peril, and if we go against the grain of Scripture, we're going to get slivers. So we need to bow. human reasoning? That's the thing of the day, reason things out. Well, the Lord isn't against reason. He says, come now, let us reason together. Same chapter 1 of Isaiah where we were, which we were referring to. Perhaps one of the greatest functions of reason today is to show that things are beyond reason. And you can't reason these things out always. Our brother was speaking about creation, evolution. I talked with a professor from John Hopkins University not long ago, a brother in fellowship, and I asked him about this problem, how he faced it and what he saw in his everyday life there in the university. And well, he says, yes, he says, we have problems. He says, but most of our biggest men have thrown evolution out long ago. They can't accept it. Can't accept it. But they won't accept anything else because they won't believe the Bible. They won't accept the scriptures. So they said, we can't accept creation story, so that's the only thing we have to fall back on. And human reasoning doesn't work. It's bankrupt. How can it be otherwise when the Bible tells us that the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God? They are spiritually discerned. The God of this world has blinded their minds, lest they see the truth. He says, walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. So a mind that is at enmity with God, a mind that is darkened by Satan, the God of this world, how can that mind accept light and truth? Until they accept the light himself and allow the light of the glorious gospel to shine into their hearts. The Bible is authoritative for every area of our lives. It's authoritative for salvation. We would never be saved by the grace of God unless we bowed to the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, the only reason you're saved by the grace of God is because you have bowed to the Word of God, you have believed the Word of God, and you have received the Lord Jesus into your life to be your Savior. The Bible, the Scriptures, are authoritative for salvation. As many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become the children of God. As many as received Him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. This is the authority of the Word of God for salvation. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. How much more simple could it be made? And God has made it so simple. A wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. So the Scriptures are authoritative for salvation. Scriptures are authoritative for guidance. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's authority. And when we bow to that authority, then we have guidance in our lives. The Bible, the Scriptures are authoritative for comfort. The apostle tells us that God allows believers to to pass through difficulties, trials in their lives so that they will be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith they have been comforted of God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Our cares are multiple. His is one. That's me. He has to care for me. I have many cares, and you have many cares, and our world has many. But here is the authority of the Scripture. You cast them on the Lord, if He is your Lord. And if He isn't, we'll make Him Lord, and then cast them on Him, and He will care for us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still and know that I am God. Tremendous scriptures. And when we bow to the authority, we have the comfort of the Word of God. And these are only a few of the many thousands that we could mention. Well, our time is drawing to a close, but let's remember that in the beginning, it was the Word of God that called our world into being. This is what the Bible says, and our scientists, as great as they are, and thank God for them, for many of the things that they're doing and finding out, tremendous things. But many of them don't know the things which we know because we accept the Word of God as it is, the living Word of God. And God spoke the Word and called it all into existence. And Peter tells us that by that same Word, He's going to call it out of existence. And again, our scientists say, well, it can't do that. You know, matter can't be destroyed and so on. You wait and see. God, who is big enough to call it into existence, is big enough to call it out, to fold it up like a cloth, like a garment, and cast it away. The same word. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. The Lord Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus, and He wept. And He told them to remove the stone, and then He said, Lazarus, come forth, with a loud voice. And Lazarus came forth, the voice of authority. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that the Lord is going to do that for all the dead in Christ. He's going to shout, and every grave of every believer in the Lord Jesus is going to be opened. And they're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and caught up together to be with the Lord. The voice of authority, the powerful Word of God. This is the Word which is spoken unto you, the Lord says, and we need to obey it. We need to bow to it. The armies of all the world are going to gather at Jerusalem one day, and they're going to make war against the Lamb, God's Son, who in earlier days they put on a cross. Now God has put Him on a throne, and they're going to make war against Him and get rid of Him forever. The word out of His mouth is all that was necessary. And they're going to be laid out, the whole lot of them, destroyed by the word of His mouth, the sword out of His mouth. Powerful word. And so these are only a few examples, and we need to read and reread our Bibles. If there are problems and difficulties in our lives, we need to ask ourselves, where is the breakdown? Where am I falling down on this obedience bit? Where am I failing to bow to the authority of the living Word of God? And I'm sure if we face up to that it'll bring about a change in our lives. The Bible always brings about a change, fundamental change in our lives. when we bow to the authority of Scripture. That's the way of blessing. We could go on talking about the Beatitudes in the Scriptures. Look at the ones in Matthew 5. Beatitudes. Blessed are the voice of authority. And when we read them, we know what the way to happiness is. Happy is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Shall we pray? Father, thanks for the time we've spent together here with your living word. We thank you for giving us this, the Scriptures, the Bible. We thank you that it has withstood the test all down through the centuries and will to the very end. And our Lord Jesus told us in the Scriptures that this word is going to judge us in the coming day. It is the authoritative word of God. Help us to bow to it. If there are any here this morning who have not bowed to your word for salvation and received the Lord Jesus as Savior, we pray that they might do so right now where they sit, right in this moment, and realize that that is where the breakdown has come in their lives. They need to be saved. They need to be regenerated. They need to be born from above. We pray that if there are any here that need comfort, we pray that the comfort of the Scriptures might be theirs as they read their Bibles and accept what you have said. And if there are any need guidance, we pray that we might read what your word says, that you're ready to guide us and lead us as we bow our wills to you, as we accept the authority of your word. So bless your word. We turn it loose. And we pray that you'll do us the good that you intended. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.